What's up, everybody? Thank you for joining us today on D Squared Football Podcast. I'm Dalton Clint.
I'm Dalton Damon.
And today we got a lot of great topics to go over, so let's get started.
Let's do it, man.
All right. First up, Mike Evans for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Zero receptions on only three targets versus the Saints. And Jameis Winston said, in order for them to win games, the Bucs have to get the ball to Mike Evans. But he's the one throwing the ball and making decisions on where he's throwing the ball. He does his check down. He's the one that releases the ball out of his hand. It's not all his fault, but he is a part of that.
I totally agree. Jameis Winston saying that statement, yes, it's bringing to the public eye. We as a team have messed up. We weren't playing to our top caliber. But I think, honestly, the way that Jameis was saying that quote makes it seem like it's not his fault. And it's almost entirely his fault to a degree. It's almost entirely his fault that he's the one on the field. He's the one making the throws. And any good defense is going to take away Mike Evans. They're going to put at least two guys on him every single play, every single pass.
Arguably top five wide receiver in the league.
Right.
They got it. Every defense is going to do what they can to eliminate him from their offense.
Right. And the Saints did that. They did the exact same thing that we were just talking about. Zero receptions, three targets. While saying, yes, we need to target Mike Evans more, we need to get him the ball more in order to be successful, is a true fact. Jameis is the one on the field in those decisions, making those throws. And if he's not open, he's not open. So,
right.
Say Chris Godwin's open in the flats, throw the ball to Chris Godwin.
And that's one reason why Chris Godwin has been doing so well, putting up the numbers he is, because, you know, teams put that double coverage on Mike Evans, and that leaves Chris Godwin more lane to be open.
Right. And I've been using Chris Godwin as a flex on my fantasy team this entire season. He's averaging at least 19 points a game in a non-PPR league. There's a reason that that guy has been balling out. It's because leagues. Well, I don't even want to talk about non-PPR leagues with you. That's a whole different discussion. But there's a reason that Chris Godwin is open all the time. It's because they're taking away a guy that they could use to cover Chris Godwin and putting him on Mike Evans. So I believe, yes, at the same time, while you need to throw the ball to Mike Evans in order to be successful, keep doing what you're doing and keeping your options open, spreading the ball between your receivers. I just think that that's smart football. And if you need to end your game plan around doing that while keeping Mike Evans as a primary target, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, he's a huge dude, so he's always one of those people that you can, if you're, you know, got to throw it up top in the end zone, that's the dude on the team they're going to throw it to.
Right. And he's got the same kind of body style as Calvin Johnson and the likes. That's exactly what Matthew Stafford used to do when Calvin Johnson was on the team. If we need an end zone throw, throw it to Megatron.
Yeah, because he can get up on us any cornerback or safety in the league.
Right. And Mike Evans is a very talented receiver. And he obviously, you got to blame him to a degree that he had an off game. But at the same time, every NFL player is going to have an off game.
Right. I mean, they're human.
Right. We're all human. As a fan base, you need to understand that it's a team effort when you lose. It is not because of one player. It is not because of this. Sure, that there are specific plays where these players messed up or this person wasn't doing this or whatever.
Exactly. It's all 11 dudes on the field at the time.
11 dudes on the field.
It's not one out of 11. It's 11 out of 11 that make or break a game.
Right, 100%. And I think that most of the Bucs fan base, while they are frustrated that they lost the game to the Saints, most of them can understand that this is a team effort. They need to come back and build from it. They're actually going to London this week. I have a buddy of mine who is going to that game. They're playing the Panthers in London. What are your thoughts on that game?
It's going to be a good game. Bucks actually beat the Panthers earlier this season when they played them. So it's going to be a close one. I'm really not sure who I got to win. I think the Bucks, if they play well, they can pull it out again against the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely going to be a fun one to watch, that's for sure.
And I'm not sure if Cam Newton's going to be back for this game or not, but if he's not in, that gives the Bucks even more of a chance, because I'm not a fan of their backup in Carolina. Carolina's backup is a backup for a reason.
I mean, he's performing fairly well, but he's not top caliber.
No, he's not. And in order, I honestly believe in order for Carolina to even have a chance of winning that game, they have to have Cam Newton at the helm. And I'm not sure if he's going to be back for this game or not.
I don't believe he is.
Yeah, so I go with the Bucks. Neutral stadium in London, but at the same time, you have no chance unless you have your star quarterback in.
Okay, on to the next topic.
What I want to bring up is the NCAA as a whole organization. Right now, the California government passed a bill that will allow college athletes to be paid for companies to use their likeness or products to use their likeness, basically in direct contrast to the NCAA's number one rule of you're not allowed to pay these players. I think it's a great step in the right direction to help out these college athletes, most of whom really can't afford to go to a D1 college out of state. Let's say that this is a kid from poor Arkansas, gets an offer from USC, takes the offer to USC. It's a full ride gig. It's at least $52,000 a year out of state to go there. While I get the NCAA is like, well, we're paying for their school, they're getting full ride scholarships, these kids can't live comfortably or can't live safely with no money coming in.
Right. They don't have time for a job. Football is their full-time job, so they really don't have money outside of, you know,
right,
school being paid for.
They don't have the opportunities to go get a job like most other college students are able to. They don't have, because it literally, at least 7 hours a day is how long these athletics take. That's 35 hours a week. On a week basis, Monday through Friday, that's 35 hours a week. That's a full-time job, nearly. Yeah. So, yes, I am all for California paying these players, or getting the opportunity to pay these players for using their likeness. And I think Draymond Green, not football-related, but Draymond Green, the player for the Golden State Warriors, said it best, the NCAA is a dictatorship that does not want their players or their subordinates to have the civil liberties. I mean, it's almost like communism. Everybody gets the same thing, but at the same time, nobody gets what they really want.
Right, and to add on to that, running back for the Los Angeles Rams, Todd Gurley, posted a picture on his Instagram of him wearing a shirt and had, in big letters, going down NCAA, and it said, not concerned about athletes.
That's a great shirt, and I think it's bringing a light to a cause that really needs to be talked about more often, because nobody's talking about this. Nobody's talking about this. This is a big issue that a lot of people are affected by.
And every state should look into, not necessarily exactly what California's doing, but at least, you know, helping out their athletes.
Right, helping out their athletes more than just paying for their college, because I mean, yes, you're paying for their college. They're getting a very good education. But if they're a really good football talent, most of these guys are going to leave before their, or like after their junior year.
Yeah. Lot of them have to finish college, like either after their professional career or during their professional career online or something like that.
And who's paying for that? The players. The NCAA is not paying for that anymore. So think about it in the way that maybe most of these kids aren't really going to college because they want to get an education. They're going to college so they can go to the NFL. I could say probably at least 50% of the athletes that go to the University of Alabama are like, I'm going to Alabama because I want to play on Sunday nights.
Right.
That's exactly what it is. So those are my thoughts on the bill passed by California. The NCAA as a whole, being a dictatorship like Draymond Green said, I think is a solid statement because...
Very agreeable.
I just read an article today. I'm not even kidding. D3Football.com posts an article about a small D3 college head football coach loaning his car letting two of his players drive his car to the airport to pick up their mother because they didn't have a way to pick her up and couldn't afford paying for like a taxi or something like that, or like an Uber. So they drove his car to the airport, picked their mom up, and then played the rest of the season. That team ends up winning the D3 National Championship in 2016. The article just came out that the NCAA did an investigation, basically saying that because these players used his vehicle, they are now technically ineligible, and any game that they played in will now be considered a loss. They played that entire season. They were two starting players on the team of that national championship team. They had their national championship title taken away over two players using a vehicle to pick up their mother.
Yeah, not even football related.
It's not
to
even
to go
close.
Pick up their mother from the airport. It did not affect their ability in playing. Did not affect, you know, their, you know, practicing or playing. It doesn't, you know, picking up their mom from the airport. It has nothing to do with them playing football.
Right, and it would be different if it was like, oh yeah, I'm buying you a brand new car because you're a really good athlete. We wanted you to come here, and we promised you this. It's not that at all. I think that's wrong. It's not in the same circumstance as, oh, I'm paying you for a brand new car to give to you because you came to our college. It's literally going to pick your mother up at the airport so that she can come spend time with her two kids. That's what it is. And I'm sorry, I cannot agree with what the NCAA is enforcing these penalties onto these kids or this team in general, because they won a national championship. And now it's taken away for something that literally is so minuscule that it blows my mind.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It's absolutely insane.
I am not a fan. I don't agree with what the NCAA is doing. That's another conversation that really needs to be talked about on a national scale of why the NCAA has so much power and enforces so many minuscule or like punishments for minuscule events that occur.
Right.
Such as
this. And it's frustrating too, because like that has nothing to do with football, and yet their football team and organization is getting punished for it.
Right. And they can say all they want about the university itself making those punishments, but those punishments wouldn't even be inflicted if the NCAA wasn't basically breathing down their neck saying, you're going to do this, otherwise we're going to do it to you, and then it's going to be a lot worse. I don't know. It just leaves a bad taste in my mouth that the NCAA is this almighty power of college athletics and basically gives their athletes and their coaches and their programs no control over what's going on.
Right.
While I'm not saying that's a bad thing to have a governing organization, I think that there should be more of a say from the players, from the coaching staffs, from the programs itself to change the policies that the NCAA abides by.
Yeah, it can definitely be improved upon, that's for sure.
Right. And I mean, that goes for saying about any organization really, but I think this needs to be talked about on a bigger scale. And this needs to be talked about more often than it is, without the NCAA basically suppressing any conversation about it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. All right, our next topic we're going to talk about is Thursday Night Football last night, the New England Patriots and the New York Giants. Patriots won that game 35-14. But, I mean, especially the first half, Giants were giving the Patriots a run for their money. That's for sure.
Yeah. No, I mean, I enjoy watching Daniel Jones play because I think he is going to be one of the next great QBs in the league. I don't think great as in, like, oh, he's going to the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying that talent-wise and mentality-wise, the kid's got the right idea.
Right. He does have some things he can prove upon. He did throw three interceptions last night. But you know, he is a rookie. It's the first year in the NFL. He's got plenty of time to, you know, work on stuff like that.
Right.
But yes, he can definitely be a big name in the NFL.
Right. And that's kind of been a big issue with his, playing so far, is that he has thrown a lot of interceptions. He's lost a lot of fumbles. Turnovers are a big issue with him.
Yeah, they're definitely killing the Giants.
It's been killing the Giants, but if he continues to work on that, there is a lot of upside potential with him being the quarterback in for the New York Giants.
And one thing too with the Giants last night, they had a lot of their offensive players out.
Yeah.
Sterling Shepard was out. Evan Ingram was out. As a lot of people know, Saquon Barkley's out. The backup for Saquon Barkley, Wayne Gallman, he was out that game too. So, right. I mean, their depth chart was getting a lot thinner in that game.
The only name, big name guy that they had on the field was Golden Tate, and he's been out for 4 weeks.
So, yeah, I mean, they're in the rookie Slayton. That was about the gist of it. That was about all they had.
Yeah. So chalk that loss up to playing one of the best teams in the NFL, holding their own for like the first quarter, technically around the first half. But at some point, yeah, I mean, New England's just going to come back and do what they do.
Yeah, man, it's New England.
I was also really excited to see Chase Winovich, former defensive end for the University of Michigan. He got a fumble or a block punt recovery for a touchdown.
That was a great play.
Yeah, I mean, if you really watch that play back, though, when the punter punted the ball, it hit like the back of his own teammate's head and went straight up.
Kind of bounced off his shoulder pads and helmet.
Yeah, and that, I mean, you can really chalk that up, not to New England, yes, to New England playing a really good defense on special teams, but lack of special teams discipline by that guy who's blocking.
Yeah, he got pushed back into the punter's lane of kicking it.
Which caused the touchdown. So you can't really blame that on the punter himself. You got to blame that on the front line.
The punter did his job. He caught the snap and he tried to kick it away.
Right. And you got to blame that on special teams discipline and special teams coach too. Basically, you got to get on his ass and tell him you need to step up. There's no excuse for having what just happened.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Tom Brady, dude's a goat. He's the best quarterback in the league for the reason. As much as a lot of people don't like him because he plays for the Patriots, I like him just as a mentality. I really like how he approaches the game. He's the GOAT for a reason. Honestly, I believe they're probably going to end up going to the Super Bowl again, because unless the Chiefs step up, which they've been falling off the past 2 weeks.
A little bit. And speaking of Tom Brady, too, he actually passed Peyton Manning last night for second in most passing yards in a career.
I did see that.
Yep, and now he trails Drew Brees by about 2,500 yards for the top spot.
Yeah. This is coming from a guy who literally nobody was thinking that he was going to get drafted. He got drafted in the really late rounds of the 2000 draft. Dude, you got to take this guy and look at his life and look at his story. And there's a reason that he is so good, is because he never was approached as this guy who was like, oh, he's too short, or he's too slow, yada, yada, yada. He doesn't play this well. He doesn't cover this right. Take that as you may, but the guy learned from his mistakes and learned from his setbacks and twisted it, did a 180, and now he's the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, he played and practiced with a chip on his shoulder to become the best of the best.
Right. And I'm a little biased because he's University of Michigan graduate, go blue. But at the same time, even if I wasn't, you really got to respect the guy for how much time he has dedicated to his craft and becoming where he is today.
Right. And his star receiver too, Julian Edelman. I was actually watched a little interview last night with him. He is very underrated, and I think a lot of people can agree with that. Mm-hmm. And a few years ago, in the top 100 list for ranking of NFL players, it voted mm-hmm. on by the other NFL players, he didn't even make the top 100.
Yeah.
He's not, you know, the standard build for a wide receiver, mm-hmm. but he is good and he makes plays. He's part of the reason why they've been to the Super Bowl so many times, is he contributes and does very, very well.
Right. I think he's a very good he's not the greatest athletically gifted player, but he's got the right mentality about everything. I think as a culture, that organization with the New England Patriots has the right idea mentally, that they're just going to go out there, they're going to work their ass off, and they're going to win football games. And you got to respect them for that. You can hate them all you like. You got to respect them for doing all the right things to get to where they go. Deflategate, whatever. I've looked past that. These past few times that they've gone for a reason.
Right, and one thing I actually find very funny is Julian Edelman watched Tom Brady in the NFL when Julian Edelman was in junior high.
Right.
And that just tells you how long Brady has been in the league.
The dude is like 42 or 43 or something like that now, and he's still hanging with the best, dude. And these young kids are coming, and he's like, watch the old-timer do this. And the old-timer throws for more passing yards than a lot of other people.
And speaking of the Patriots, too, Robert Kraft went on NFL's Network NFL Game Day Kickoff ahead of Thursday's night game and stated that the door is still open for Rob Gronkowski. And we did see throughout the game that their tight end depth chart is slim to none right now.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't think Rob Gronkowski is ever gonna play again personally, just because.
He's not been in the same build he was too when he played.
Not even that. He can get back to that. What I'm thinking of is the dude mentally doesn't really want to play. He's been injured a lot of concussions, a lot of head injuries.
Well, he did say too that even for him the door's not closed. That I mean, it's still a possibility. He said.
Yeah. I mean, he could just be saying that with fans, but I just don't see him going back. Especially with a lot of these NFL ex NFL players coming out with stories now, like Calvin Johnson saying, "Oh yeah, I used to smoke pot after every single game because of how bad my CTE was hurting," and the Lions basically, and I'm dissing my team right here because I really like Calvin, but basically the Lions telling him, go back out there and play through this concussion that you clearly have, and we'll just chalk up the medical staff, and the medical staff will just say, oh, he's fine. He passed the concussion protocol. That's illegal, number one. Number two, that's highly illegal. Number two, it's highly immoral.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of there's not a lot of morality to that circumstance. I think that as a whole, the Lions are not that team that they were because new management, new all that. I think culture-wise, they've shifted, but I still think that there's a lot of similar circumstances going down in the NFL that we just don't hear about as fans.
It's definitely not a public thing, but it definitely should be. It's something that is affecting these guys' life even outside of football.
Right, I mean, it's affecting their ability,
especially with
to be
brain injuries. Problems. It can be permanent brain damage and stuff like that. That even when they retired, they still have to deal with that, and it's not a good thing.
No, yeah, I mean, it's affecting their ability to be good husbands, be good fathers, I mean, be good workers if they decide to pursue another career after football. It's affecting all of that, and it's not right doing what they do to try to cover it up because, oh, we need him to win the football game. Yes, that's a very short-term goal that you need him to do that, but think about the long-term repercussions.
Right, yeah, they're humans before they're football players.
Right, and I think that there's a lot of events similar to what Calvin Johnson's saying going down in the NFL that we just don't hear about, and if there are those events going down, that shit needs to stop. Yeah. 100%. It doesn't need to be prevalent in the NFL. It doesn't need to be happening at all.
Yeah, because they can say, oh, we're going to, even though he's concussed, we're going to put him in so we can win this game. Well, he can get even worse injuries and then be out for the rest of the season because they thought, oh, he'll be fine for this game.
Right, and that's just not right. All right, hey, we're going to take a quick break, listen to one of our sponsors. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. So we're going to do something a little different this week that we didn't do last week. We're actually going to make some quick predictions and a little quick analysis on the upcoming games for this week. All right, for starters, since we already talked about the Tampa Bay-Carolina game, we got Philadelphia Eagles at the Minnesota Vikings.
I got Philadelphia. I think they're on a up-and-coming roll, and Minnesota's kind of on the decline. That's my quick thought.
I kind of disagree with you on that. Minnesota has been improving last week with the win, finally getting their wide receivers in the game. You know, Adam Thielen actually had catches.
I see where you're going from there, but I also can't root for Minnesota. But I think I still think Minnesota's gonna probably lose. All right, next game.
I disagree with you. I got Minnesota.
All right, what's the next game?
Next game, we got Washington Redskins at Miami Dolphins. Wow.
Washington Redskins.
Defeated teams.
Washington Redskins.
Yeah. Miami is, you can use Miami awful. As an adjective for this season. Yeah, they're awful.
Awful. No way that they win. I'm sorry.
I mean, Washington ain't been doing that good, so... They did say Case Keenum will start this game, so we'll have to check it out and see. All right. Yeah. All right, next up we got the Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans.
Kansas City.
Yeah, agreed. It's Kansas City. They're a great team.
Too much talent to not beat them. Right. I think that they're going to have to actually work harder than they have been because they've been on a decline these past 2 weeks, but still. Houston's okay, but Deshaun Watson doesn't really add a whole lot of weapons.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we got Jacksonville and New Orleans.
Ooh, that's going to be a really good game.
I got New Orleans all the way. Minshew Mania is not going to have enough to beat New Orleans defense.
Well, I'm 50-50 on this, but you know my thoughts on Minshew Mania. I am all for Minshew Mania, but I can see your point. And honestly, I can't decide between the two. I think it's going to be a really close game either way.
All right, next up we got Seattle and Cleveland.
Seattle.
Yeah, I got Seattle. I mean, Russell Wilson's having an outstanding season so far, and, I mean, Cleveland is not.
I mean, as much as Cleveland has the talent and has the possibility of being good for some reason, one reason or the other, they're just not performing. And Seattle's on a pretty good roll right now. I got Seattle.
Yeah, I agree. All right, next up we got Cincinnati at Baltimore.
It's going to be – I think it's going to be the Ravens. Jackson. Lamar Jackson's got Mark Andrews. That's his number one guy right now. He's got the ability to move. He's got the ability to throw. Cincinnati is
good for a running back.
Yeah, right. Cincinnati, don't see them doing anything.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't even won a game yet this season. All
right,
now the game I'm actually looking forward to the most this week is the San Francisco 49ers at the Los Angeles Rams.
That is going to be a very close game.
Yes.
Right now, I'm going to make my prediction, and I'm going to say L.A. beats the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think L.A. Has the ability to give the Niners their first loss of the season. Mm-hmm. And so it's definitely going to be an absolute fun one to watch, that's for sure.
Right.
All
right,
and next up. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. But Jimmy G is on a roll this season.
Oh, yeah. So he is showing out.
So, I mean, he's on a roll this season, but I think that Jared Goff and the Rams have had enough of losing. They're going to come back. They're going to beat him this week.
Yep. All right, next up, we got the Atlanta Falcons and the Arizona Cardinals. Oof.
You being a Falcons fan, I'm going to say that Atlanta wins because
I'm going to pray that Atlanta wins.
I'm going to say Atlanta wins because Arizona doesn't really have as much of a defensive presence as Atlanta does. Atlanta does not have a defensive presence to save their life, but
they barely have an offensive presence.
Right. I think that they'll win. I think it's going to be a very close game.
Yeah. I'm going to say it's going to be a good game because it's two bad teams. I mean, very similar records. Falcons are 1-4. Cardinals are 1-3-1. So very similar records. So it's going to be an interesting one. And it's definitely going to be probably whoever wins is going to be a momentum booster, at least a little bit, since they both only have one win.
Right. What do we got for the next game?
Next game, we got Dallas Cowboys and the New York Jets.
Even with Sam Darnold back, Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, Jets fans can't expect him to come in and be Superman.
Right.
So, yeah, and plus they still ain't won a game anyways either.
Yeah, no, and Dallas coming off the loss to Green Bay, but still they're just they've got more talent than the Jets really ever have. So.
Yeah. All right, next up we got Tennessee Titans and the Denver Broncos.
It's going to be a close one. I make my prediction. I say Denver wins.
I got Tennessee. With Derrick Henry, I think they can do it and take out the Broncos and Phillip Lindsay.
I just think that Joe Flacco is actually going to lead his team with Phillip Lindsay, and just they're going. I think they're going to do. It's going to be a very close game, but I think that Denver pulls away.
Yeah, with I agree. It'll definitely be close. Right. All right. Next up, we got the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Los Angeles Chargers.
I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Chargers take the win here. Yep, Pittsburgh has had little to no momentum so far this season. Yeah, losing two quarterbacks, but I mean, LA is just they're going to be good. I don't think they're going to be the team that goes for the AFC this year. I think it's going to be the Chiefs, but
yeah, I mean, they've been doing well with, you know, Austin Ekeler at running back, and now they even got Melvin Gordon back. So
yep.
I mean, they definitely got some power for the running game.
Yeah, I just think there's too much power. Too much talent on the LA side that the Steelers just can't match.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, last but not least, Monday Night Football. We got the Detroit Lions and Green Bay Packers.
You know my thoughts. I think Detroit wins, pull the underdog story in Lambeau. They've had a really good track record these past few seasons of playing really well at Lambeau. I got Detroit.
This one I'm kind of 50-50. I agree with you. Yes, Detroit has, I mean, you can't avoid the facts, has been doing very well at Lambeau. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, but you got to, and another thing too, Devontae Adams is questionable to be playing that game.
Yeah.
And that's their best wide receiver. So I definitely think it's going to be a good game, a fun one to watch, and you know, a close one. I don't know. I'm going to go Green Bay.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Green Bay leads the NFC North right now. I could definitely see where you're coming from. But I think Detroit is on a really good roll right now. They played a few really good teams, have had really good stands with both of them, beat Philadelphia, almost beat Kansas City. I just think that Detroit comes away with the win here.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a good one. Good Monday night game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I honestly believe that the NFC North is the number one division in the NFL. I just think that there's a lot of really good teams that have always had a really good rivalry.
Definitely good teams and good talent.
Right. So that's going to wrap us up today with the D-Squared Football Podcast. I'm Dalton Damon.
And I'm Dalton Clint.
And we will see you next time. Thank you guys for watching so much. We love you. See you next week.
Thank you all.